So last week, the week before last, we talked about the difference the Holy Spirit makes. I'm not going to ask who all remembers that because, you know, I know how it is. You're like, well, oh yeah, we did talk about that. But anyway, but that just, it makes me feel bad if y'all don't remember it. So anyway, I'm not going to ask you how many remember it. But we talked about the difference the Holy Spirit makes. We talked about how He endues us with power from on high. We talked about the manifestation of the Spirit, how that's the shining forth, and the Holy Spirit causes us to shine forth, and He shines through us. Amen. Like the city on the hill, we talked about how the Holy Spirit gives us boldness, and we can overcome the fears, the fear of man, and just the fear of stepping out when the Holy Spirit is inside of us. Once we're filled with the Holy Spirit, He gives us boldness to be His witnesses. How many of y'all want to be His witnesses? Amen. And we talked about how when a move of the Holy Spirit always brings unity in the church, breaking down barriers of all kinds, social barriers, racial barriers, any kind of barriers that there might be. The move of the Holy Spirit, sees everybody as sons and daughters of God, sees everybody as someone that Christ Jesus laid down His life for. And their barriers are broken down when the Holy Spirit's involved. He brings unity in our midst, in our church. We talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, how they are for everyone. They're not just for leadership. They're not just for Pastor Jerry. They're not just for the for deacons. They're for everyone. Everyone. How that all we have to do, it says all we have to do is ask. You know? And so we ended the service of just asking. For the Holy Spirit to come and to flood this place and to flood our lives, to give us a Pentecostal experience, every one of us. The thing I didn't get to, I didn't have in there, I should have crammed it in, but another difference the Holy Spirit makes, how many of y'all are thankful that when we are filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit, He gives us a prayer language? He gives us a prayer language. I don't know about y'all, but I've been in times, plenty of times, every day, usually, I face something or I've got something going on. I just have to admit, I don't know how to pray sometimes or what I should pray. But praise God, He gives us a prayer language that when we need God on the scene, that we can pray in the Spirit, we can pray in tongues, and God, and it's God praying through us. Amen? And I tell you what, every time we pray that way, we're praying the perfect will of God. We may not know what needs to happen. We may be short-sighted. But I tell you what, God's got a bird's eye view. God sees the big picture. God sees the things that we can't see. And He knows how to pray through us. And that language, it's a prayer language. And the Bible says that prayer language builds up your most holy faith. It builds up your most holy faith. There have been times, too, when I just didn't feel like I had the faith to believe something. Or I just didn't feel like, you know, I wasn't sure. You know, I don't know, God, I don't know if You can change this. You know, a lot of times that's with me. You know, I'm thinking, God, I don't know, I'm too far gone, God. You know, but spending time praying in the Spirit will build up your most holy faith. And it was Paul who wrote that he said, I pray in the Spirit more than you all, you know. The great men in the Bible and the great people that were involved in great moves of the Holy Spirit, they know the value of spending time praying in the Spirit because it builds them up. It builds them up in their most holy faith. But I know there's been times like that where I just be honest with you, I didn't have confidence that things would change. But after spending time praying in the Spirit, boy, it's just like there's something that rises up in you. Something that rises up in you. It builds you up and it helps you to believe for the impossible. And that's what we're doing this year. We're believing God for the impossible. We're believing God to take us to the other side. We're believing God to show forth and demonstrate His power and His glory through us. Amen? Do you want that tonight? So that prayer language, it builds up your most holy faith. It edifies the body. It edifies God, is what it says. So it edifies, it builds up your most holy faith. What did I say first? I didn't have it in my notes. I didn't have the notes from last week. But anyway, it builds up your most holy faith. Huh? What's that? Oh, yes. It helps you to pray the perfect will of God. Sorry. And the Bible says that it edifies God. It edifies God. And so, man, three things that we have to have in our life. Because, you know, as you edify God, as you build Him up, as you praise God, you know, that opens doors. That's why we have praise and worship first, you know. So it opens doors. Praise opens up doors. It invites God's presence. It opens things up. And so, anyway, it edifies God. So we have a prayer language. Everybody say, the prayer language is a must if you want to walk a victorious Christian life, an overcomer. Now, do we believe you have to have that to be saved and go to heaven? No. But if you want to live a victorious life on this earth, I don't believe you can do it without the infilling and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so those things, the difference that the Holy Spirit makes, He makes a difference. He makes a difference. And we have to have Him in our life. We have to have Him and have His power working in us. Tonight I want to continue on with that, and then we're going to get into another phase of this. But I want to start off talking with you about a person that all of you will know the name. But I want to talk about somebody that the Holy Spirit made a huge difference in their life. Has anybody ever heard the name Smith Wigglesworth? Smith Wigglesworth. Man, a powerful, powerful minister of the Lord. Powerful miracles. But if you study about Smith Wigglesworth, you'll find out that initially he was just a tongue-tied plumber in England. And he loved the Lord. And it even says that he worked a full-time plumbing job, and he would share the gospel on the side. But it said he was not a good speaker. In fact, that he had such trouble speaking that his wife would actually do the preaching for him on the side. He would share the gospel, but his wife would have to come speak. And I think that is so spiritual. I really do. And so, Nicole, tonight, now, I tried to get her to come up and speak several times, you know, but maybe my motivation was a little bit off. I don't know. I was just like, why didn't you preach? I feel led to ask you to preach. She wouldn't do it tonight, you know. She's like, Jason, you know how I am about that, but on the way to church, it's not the time to ask me to do something like that. Anyway, so she wouldn't do it. I couldn't twist her arm. But it worked for Smith Wigglesworth for a little while. Anyway, he couldn't speak. He wasn't a speaker, you know. And so his wife did it for him. But then it says when he was 48 years old. So I know some of you are really close to that now. So there's hope still for you guys. You know, I know none of you in here are over that. But if you are a little bit over that, there's still hope for you. But he was 48 years old. He was 48. Now, before that, he loved God. Man, he wanted to share the gospel. You know, that was his heart. And he was doing that, you know, with the help of his wife. But at 48 years old, it says that if you read up on him, he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And after that, suddenly, it says, when I was reading it, it says, suddenly after that, he had a newfound anointing to preach the word with power. Amen? And most of you know about Smith Wigglesworth's ministry. You know the part that came next. After he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you what. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. Amen? God got a hold of him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, you're filled with the same power. Amen? But it said after that, after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, well, he began. God just gave him an anointing to preach the word and power. And signs and wonders began to follow him. It said on here, let's list out some things that happened with him. Deaf ears were opened. Blind eyes were healed. Creative formation of missing limbs took place in his ministry. Tumors disappeared. Cancers disappeared. Demons were cast out. Mental health was restored. He'd prayed for people that were insane, clinically insane, and God healed their minds. Amen? Some of you say, my husband needs that, right? Or my wife needs that. There's hope. There's hope. So mental illness was healed. And then it said that around 20 people were raised from the dead through his ministry. 20 people raised from the dead through his ministry. How many of y'all agree that the Holy Spirit made a difference in his life? But just like Smith Wigglesworth, you know, was empowered by the Holy Spirit. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that same power fills us. Think about that. How many of you see yourself laying hands on the sick and then recover? How many of you can see yourself praying for blind eyes to be open and they're open? How many of you can see yourself raising the dead? That's our portion, guys. That's our inheritance. That's what God has laid aside for us and told us you can do. If you don't believe me, turn with me to Matthew 10, verse 7 and 8. Matthew 10, verse 7 and 8. Joe, if you're pulling it up on there, it's the New King James Version. It says, "And I say to you, go." Everybody say, go.
Go.
"Preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick." Now, this isn't, I don't know, I don't, just leave it up there like that, Joe. But I don't see, there was nothing in here that said, if you want to, or there's nothing that said you might want to think about. This is a command. This is what Jesus said, do. Go. That's a command. Go. And when you go, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. This is the power that's been deposited, freely given to us, to those who walk with God and receive the power of the Spirit of God in their life. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? I know that's a stretch. These days, in most churches and in most congregations, that's a stretch for people to see themselves, you know, doing those things. But I just believe this year, and our pastors this year, they're wanting to change our mindset to where we no longer see this as just great stories that these great men did, but this is our portion. This is what God has called us to walk in. Amen? And I want every one of you, and even myself, you know, I'm right there with you. I'm working on it too, but I'm convinced and believe that this is the ministry of the church that we are to walk in and carry out and give this world. Freely give as you have freely received. Now, I want to ask you this. How many of you here, who is the church? Who is the church? You are the church. We are the church. God has given this to you, believers. God has given this to you. And this year, I just believe that God is going to transform our thinking. That God is going to transform our mind. And that we, as we read in the Word, and we hear the Word of God that says, you have power to lay hands on the sick. Linda, you have power to lay hands on the sick. Cody, you have power to lay hands on the sick, to cast out demons. Mary Vashti, to cast out demons. All of you guys here, put your name in that spot and say, I have the power within me to do these great works. Amen? God wants to get us past the idea of these things and get us to the doing of these things. I tell you what, it was a great, the men's conference was really great. And that was actually a big push of the men's conference to get us beyond having good ideas and good aspirations and those kind of things and get to the point of stepping out in faith and doing. Amen? Because the Bible says that faith without works is what? It's dead. Faith without works is dead. There has to be an action with our faith. There has to be action put to our faith. If there's no action along with our faith, that faith is dead. There has to be action put to us. And it's a challenge this year. It's a challenge this year to every one of us. Every one of us in this room. It's a challenge this year to know what you believe and then take another step to act on it. To go and do whatever it is that God's called us to do. Go and do it. There's a book that I'm kind of reading and that I was given by Brother Jerry to start going through this. And so one of the themes of the book is that the church of God today, we have to make sure that we don't become Pentecostal only by name. And when I say Pentecostal, I'm not talking about a denomination. I'm not talking about, you know, the UPC denomination. We love all denominations. That's great. But this is not talking about a denomination. This is talking about an experience and a way of life. Pentecostal. And we have to make sure that our church doesn't become Pentecostal based on the, for anybody that's called a, based on the day of Pentecost, what happened, the infilling of the Holy Spirit and fire. And after that, the disciples begin to go out in boldness and move in power and see miracles happen. That's the Pentecostal I'm talking about. And we have to make sure that our church is not Pentecostal in name only. To talk about it, to read about it, to want it, but we've got to get to that, beyond that point and become a church that moves in it, that sees the workings of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit manifested right here in our altars, in our church, and then beyond that too. I believe God's called us to reach way beyond the walls of this church and to start impacting our community. Do y'all believe that we can do that? Do you believe that God has called us to that very thing? Do you believe that He's going to give us the power to do what He's called us to do? Amen. He is. But that's what we're going to do. We're going to get beyond just talking about being Pentecostal. And we're going to move in the power of the Holy Spirit in this church. Amen. We're going to. I know it. I believe it. It's going to happen. Because I know we got a bunch of believers in here that want it. And they want the things of God. And they're going to seek after it and pursue it until we see it manifested. That's what we got to do. We got to be persistent. We got to go after it with all of our heart. As in Psalms, it said, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. We have to get to the point where we long for it and we're willing to go after it. And no matter what it takes or how long it takes, that we will spend time in God's presence until the power comes, until He's manifested through us. Amen? All right. So let's move on. So we don't want to be Pentecostal only in name, but we want to exercise the gifts and the strength and the power that God's put inside us. We have to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit at work in us. We have to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit at work in us. Without the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we'll never fulfill our destiny. Without the gifts of the Holy Spirit working in us, in our church, we'll never fulfill our destiny as a church. If we neglect the Holy Spirit, we neglect the Holy Spirit at our own expense. Because a church that's not alive is dead, right? But I believe God's called us to be a church full of the life and the power and the strength of God. Amen? We have to have it. Ephesians 3:20 says, God is able... I'll let Joe get up there. Ephesians 3.20. Did I ever really... Yeah, I finished that. All right, yeah, Ephesians 3.20, Joe. If you could go there. It says, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And so I have a question for you today. Do you believe that God is still able to do that? Because this scripture in the early church, as the disciples were planting and establishing the early church, this scripture had meaning. This scripture had conviction behind it that no, whatever you can think of as, God can do exceedingly abundantly above. You know, you want God to help pay your bills, God can do better than that. He can bless you where you can pay your bills and then help others with theirs. Anyway, God wants to do exceedingly, abundantly above. It says He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above. Is God still able? Is God still able? We need to ask ourselves that today. And the next time that we're believing for a miracle, because I believe that God's plan for us is to see miracles happen. And as we see miracles happen, I believe that's going to draw people in because they're going to see, hey, this God is real. Hey, man, they serve a living God. Time and time again in the Bible, where great works happen and miracles happen, people had to stand back and say, that God, that's the true God. That's the real God. When He saved Daniel from the lion's den, the king declared, this God is the only God worthy of worship. So many times in the Bible, you see where God did great things, people had to admit, there's no denying the power in the name of Jesus. And I believe that's where God's taking us this year, that you're going to see miracles come through and those around you are going to be left with no answer other than the God they serve is real. Amen. The God they serve can do anything. The God they serve, picked them up and kept them through a storm. The God they serve is their joy and their strength. Look how they act as they walk through these trials. The God they serve is able. He's still able. He hasn't changed. And if we're not walking in that and experiencing God's miracles in our life, the shortfall is not God. It's me. Amen? It's me. But I'm telling you, this year, I believe God's getting me into the place where I don't question His ability. I don't question whether He wants to perform miracles or whether He wants to do good things in my life. That I know my God is able. And I trust Him. And I believe in Him. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, things change. Amen? Things change. God is able. And so, but it's not going to come, easy. It's not going to come easy. It's going to take some things on our part. Amen? And so I've got some things. It's actually a list of things that I believe, and this book talks about things that keep our churches from moving in the powerful spiritual gifts that God has available for us. Things that hinder us from moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to talk about these things. I'm just kind of looking at the time. How many of you guys are interested in hearing? Because, and this is kind of new for me, teaching from a book. That's kind of a new way of preaching for me. And so we're going to work through this thing and just believe it's a powerful book. And anything that we can do. Whether it's changing our lifestyle, changing our habits, changing our mindsets, I want to do whatever it takes. I want to do whatever it takes to see the miraculous power of God working in my life and in this church. How about you? So we're going to get into this. Actually, I think we'll probably, you know what, I really felt, Miss Mary, did Nicole talk to you? Can you guys come back up? I really felt led tonight just to... actually, when she sang that song, to end this service, believing for the fire of God to work in our hands. Because one of the things, I'm just going to tell you this, one of the things that it talks in here about, that hinder us from, or that keep us from moving in the gifts of the Spirit, it's something I read a few weeks ago, and it really struck me. It really hit me. And then when she sang that song tonight, I really felt like the Lord was really pinpointing on this point tonight, and that is that we have to be careful as a church that we don't substitute praise for prayer. Now, that sounds kind of weird. Praise is good. Praise is awesome. But here's what it says. There was a prophecy given back. We just celebrated the 110th anniversary of Azusa Street Revival. You guys, I don't know if y'all know about that. But anyway, I thought it was interesting that there was a prophecy out of the Azusa Street Revival that said it was in 1906. And a woman gave a prophecy at Azusa Street. It says, regarding the last days and the move of the Holy Spirit in His church. And the prophecy was, it was a warning that the people of God will place a great emphasis on praise to a God they no longer pray to. And here's the thing. And it sounds, I know you just got to wrap your mind around this. But here's the thing. It's easier to celebrate than to agonize. It's easier to celebrate than to agonize. And the Spirit of God is calling the church back to her knees and back to the altars. If we want a great move of God in our church, praise is great. Praise is great. But we've got to remain focused on prayer. Because here's what prayer does. It says it's easier to celebrate than to agonize. Any great move of God, great move of God, any birth in the Spirit is always preceded by travail in prayer. The Bible talks about spirit giving birth to spirit and flesh giving birth to flesh, and talks about things coming in the Spirit. And the relation to that is like a woman bringing forth a child. How many of you know, men, don't raise your hands because you don't. How many of you know that bringing forth a child involves much pain? But it's one of the greatest miracles that we see, natural event, miracles that happen, is the birth of a new baby. Life coming to this earth. And those little things, man, always, every time somebody has a baby and we go visit them in the hospital and there's like little tiny baby, I'm scared to touch them. I don't want to break them. But man, it's just looking, I was like, what a miracle. It's like miniature everything and it all works. It's all working, you know? It's like there's a little heart in there beating. There's lungs in there beating. You know, it's us, everything God designed. I mean, it's just a total miracle. It's the greatest gift that you can experience. You know, I mean, my kids, they're no longer little, but man, that life, bringing that life into our life, you know, it's just the greatest miracle that you can have as a couple, is the life, that birth and that life. But it doesn't come without great pain. And I just gauge it by how hard my hand was squeezed when, you know, Sarah was being born. But, you know, my wife had some strength there I didn't know she had, but it was because she was going through great pain. But great pain led to the greatest miracle that we've ever had in our life, and that was our children. God wants to birth them some things in the Spirit. And it's not going to come, though, without some travail and some intercession.
Right.
Sister Vashti and Cindy and all you guys that are part of the intercessory prayer group, man, you know, there's something about intercession. There's travail. There's things that go on in the Spirit as you pray that you know God's bringing something forth. And it's intense spiritually. But there has to be some intense prayer and some time spent on our knees before miracles are going to take place.
Right.
Somebody said one time, he said, we want the deeper for the cheaper. It doesn't happen that way. We want the deep things of God and the awesome and amazing things of God. But we don't want to do the work to get it. But I want to know how many of you here today are willing to pay the price to see a great move of God through this church and in your life that'll touch this city. That it won't just touch the few that are present, but that'll overflow and reach the lost and touch the lost. It's only going to come through prayer and intercession and us spending time on our knees and birthing this thing in the Spirit.